Feeling groovy. That goes out to all you baby boomers out there. Youngsters may not even know what that means, but for the rest of us, we have some idea for those of us who are in that point. Well, welcome today to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. This is our second hybrid celebration. We are doing this both here in Midtown and out there on the internet. We'll have some input from some folks out there a little later in the broadcast. And I'm very, very excited to see you here. There are more people than we've ever had at a hybrid. So this is wonderful. We're going to keep going and keep growing. This will be happening about once or twice a month. So we are a center that teaches spiritual principles. We are focused and grounded in that idea. And we are here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it wants and all it asks is to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. That means that life, God, spirit, whatever word you want for it, is showing up in us, as us, and broadcasting through us in everything we do, in our loves, in our likes, in our dislikes, in our emotions, our beliefs, our feelings, our behaviors, all of that. It is simply spirit living a life through us, and we each have that freedom to participate in it in whatever way we choose. This is a center dedicated to supporting one another in the path to a greater living, a greater experience of being alive through spiritual practice, through spiritual principles, and through ideas that connect us with the oneness of life that is all about life. So to hear more about what we believe, listen now to this video. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe
in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. So, what you just heard from were a group of our practitioners and board members speaking what we believe is a small part of what we believe and what we teach. And to hear more, I'll tell you a little about who a practitioner is. A practitioner, and we have some here in the room with us, is someone who has learned how to use this teaching, who has practiced the principles of science and mind to a point where they can change things in their own lives. They bring about a better experience of life. They are also people who, by doing that, know how to do this same kind of help for other people. So they bring a greater expression to other people as well, and are able to do something for them. So today we're going to hear from one of our practitioners who will guide us in a few words and then into an affirmative prayer or a spiritual mind treatment. So I give you Maya.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here on this first day of May, this second day with you all in person over there. It's so fantastic for us to do this hybrid service. CSL Midtown joins with CSL Global International in aligning with the themes for the month. They call it the global theme. And the global theme for the year with CSL International is living everyday wonder. And the theme for the month of May is emotions. So we're going to be exploring 5 weekly talks, exploring the variety of our emotions. In particular, we're going to, over these weeks, going to be talking about fear, happiness, anger, and sadness. And for me, this series is especially meaningful because as part of my own personal spiritual journey, I happen to be working on connecting with and observing and regulating my feelings and emotions. So it's so amazing how spirit works, that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So I'm definitely looking forward to this series. And this morning, I'm going to share with you a couple of ways that working with emotions through science of mind has helped me along my path, and why I'm looking forward to learning more about what Dr. Bob is going to be teaching us. A special gift that we have at CSL Midtown is that Dr. Bob is not only our minister and has headed up Science of Mind teaching educational platforms overall, he's also worked professionally as a licensed therapist. So I especially welcome hearing what Dr. Bob is going to be sharing with us in particular. But back to me. Like many people, I have had a bit of a tumultuous relationship with my emotions. I happen to have been born under the zodiac sign of Cancer, which is ruled by the moon. And it's a water sign, and water sign is the sign of emotion. And so as a moon child, this kind of the whole concept that they talk about with Cancerian is that we are ruled by the moon, and the moon rules the ebb and flow of the waters, of the seas, of the ocean, of our emotions. So Cancers are can be very in touch with our feelings. And I've experienced feeling like I've been kind of like ruled by my feelings, like run by my feelings. People kind of will use the word like moody Cancer, because like the ebb and the flow of the ocean, we can have ebb and flow, experience the whole gamut of emotions in a day, in an hour, and however long. Sadly though, I have not necessarily had a positive background, a positive thought about that, because I just remember when I was a little girl, my mom used to say, "You like to cry." My mom was wonderful. She had wonderful things about her, but you know how it is. We remember the things that hurt us, right? Very often. So she used to say, "You like to cry." And I remember that her friends used to say, "Oh, you know, Amaya's so sensitive. She's very sensitive." Now, I'm not sure if I liked to cry or not, but I definitely found myself crying a lot and being sad and melancholy. Honestly, for the majority of my young life, I experienced that. And to the point where I actually kind of credit my spiritual journey to that. I feel like my entire spiritual journey, like the beginning of that, was predicated upon my search to be free of that sadness, to be happy. Science of Mind teaches that we are the masters of our emotions. In Living the Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes writes a section about emotional happiness. So I'm going to read some parts of that. "Do you wish to be happy? This is a foolish question, for who would not be happy? Someone has said that we used to think that we had to be happy. No, someone has said that we used to think that we had to be well in order to be happy. But now we know that we must be happy if we wish to be well. For when we reach back to the true self, which is God in us, we shall have penetrated to the innermost depth of all people. Happiness is never external. All the money in the world will not make a person happy. The highest position of dignity or trust cannot make one happy." This week I was watching a documentary about Marilyn Monroe. And Marilyn Monroe was one of the most beloved entertainers of her time and of within time. I mean, I think born after Marilyn Monroe made her transition, but we all know her, and she was like so beloved and so successful in her field. But it was so interesting to see that the documentary, that she said repeatedly during the documentary that she still wasn't happy, that even fame, even the love of the audience, even her success did not make her happy. And as a student of this teaching, I can really understand how that dichotomy exists. He says, "It is true that we cannot be well unless we are mentally and emotionally happy. To a much greater extent than we realize, the physical body affects our mental attitude. Our food neither digests or assimilates properly when we are filled with unhappiness and fear. The stream of life flows fully and freely from the innermost recesses of our being only when we are happy. And he closes out this rather long passage by saying, by asking, can we learn to surrender all of our doubts and fears, our uncertainties and forebodings, and live our lives with enthusiasm, excitement, and confidence? I venture to say that could we learn to do this, our innermost conflicts would dissipate themselves. Our prophetic feelings of evil would vanish, and we should be at peace with God, with ourselves, and with others. So I always say that my search for happiness started in my 20s, and I tried so many things. I tried love relationships, I tried alcohol, I tried marijuana, I tried therapy, and finally I tried spirituality. And this spirituality stuck. The teachings of the science of mind led me to learn how to create happiness and joy in my life by aligning my head with my heart, by aligning my thoughts and beliefs with the spiritual principles that are taught here. My feelings and emotions then followed. I still feel emotions, but now I accept and I welcome the array of emotions that I experience, for I appreciate that emotions are often our signals and guides to show us what's happening within ourselves. And I no longer have that resting sad face that I used to have because of what I've learned in these teachings. So although it's an ongoing process, I'm still breaking the habit of being myself, those old emotional habits. But these days I am tapping into emotions, not only for, not because I'm sad, and not only to heal that sadness anymore, but for building the life that I want. We can now tap into our emotions to create the life that we want. How do I want to feel in terms of building and creating and co-creating and manifesting? So I definitely look forward to what Dr. Bob is going to be teaching us. It's going to be about accepting, I'm sure, the full array of our emotions and having the courage to do so. So let's move into a treatment about that. Having the courage to explore, express, understand, and accept and regulate our emotions. So we take this time right now, knowing that there is one presence, one power in the universe, and that is infinite, intelligent life, expressing in all, through all, as all. This infinite intelligent life expresses in a myriad of ways, including in our emotions, that we can know who we are as spiritual beings by being aware of the leanings of our heart. We can know which ways to move, what to move toward, what to move away from, how to align our thinking, how to align our beliefs, how to recognize what we're really believing, through embracing, accepting, listening to our emotions. We know that we are not ruled by our emotions. We know that we have mastery, power, and dominion over them, but we have a wonderful relationship with our emotions, knowing that they are a perfect part of us, knowing that they show us where our thoughts and our beliefs are truly stand. We can use our emotions as guideposts. We can use our emotions as signals to let us know where we are along our paths. So we accept our emotions fully. We embrace our emotions fully, knowing that they cannot hurt us. They're here to serve us. And we allow for that. We open our hearts and our minds, knowing that there is nothing that can hurt us, and certainly not our emotions, because we create them through our predominant thoughts and beliefs. We are the masters of our own destinies, and part of our destiny, this relationship, includes our relationship with emotions. And so we bless our relationship with our emotions. We bless our emotions. We bless our feelings. We accept and we bless our feeling nature. We know that it's a very good thing to have these emotions, to have these feelings, to show us who, where we are along our paths. And so for that, we give thanks and we let it be. And so it is.
Everybody take a deep breath if you choose to. On the other side, we are on this side. So when we get to the other side, I know that's not what that song is about, but all I could hear was on the other side, like after we cross over to wherever. No. Here, now, and when I know better, maybe it's where the other side is. So no criticism of the song. So I have a question for you. Our affirmation today is, I am blessed and grateful for my feelings and emotions. What do you feel? What do you think? What goes through your mind when you hear that? Do you really? Are you really? You know, I'm grateful for my joy and my happiness. I ain't too grateful for some of the other feelings that go through my head, like anger and frustration and sadness and fear and all that other stuff. You know, we in this culture, in this country, have been on an emotional roller coaster now for a while. And just, I know the way I was feeling was, I'm finally getting used to being in my house and doing everything from here on the computers, talking to you on Zoom. And now it's starting to all change. And we're kind of going back to where we were, and yet we're not really going back to anything. We're really going forward to something different. And with a lot of the qualities that look a lot like the way it used to be. So there's a whole new set of adjustments and things to be concerned about and to be afraid of or to be joyful about or to have all these worlds of emotions, a lot of fear, a lot of anger as people are going through change. All this is happening. So it's interesting, and it's right on schedule for me personally, that this whole month we're talking about emotions. And we're going to be looking at them from the value of them and from the purpose of them. You know, emotions come out of our beliefs and our both conscious and unconscious. If you believe in that you're safe and solid and secure and okay wherever you are in whatever situation you're in, you're going to walk through life in a very different place than for some of us who maybe are fearful of certain places or certain. I used to be really afraid of the dark. I wasn't afraid of the dark. I was afraid of what was in the dark. Dark was fine. But what might be in the dark was pretty freaking scary for me. And I used to I have a great imagination. And as a kid, I would imagine all sorts of things in the dark. You know, monsters under my bed. And when someone hung a towel on the outside of our bathroom door when I was a kid. And when I looked out of the bathroom and there was that towel, I saw some kind of something there that was going to get me, and I wouldn't come out of the bathroom for quite a while. And it was not fun. It was not pretty. But it was emotion driven by fear, the fear that paralyzed me. But that fear only made sense if you understood what I believed behind it. I mean, you could be made fun of. You could say, well, you shouldn't believe that and get over yourself and what's wrong with that. And you should know better than this feeling or that feeling. But it doesn't make the feeling go away and it doesn't change it. So feelings are the things which really spice up our life. And they're the things which pull us through every day and into the next. Now, many of you who are thoughtful people and have been thinking people for a long time, you're more in the world perhaps of thought. So when something happens, you become thoughtful about it. Good for you. I'm a little more like Maya, where when something happens, especially if it's a surprise, my emotions kick in first. And then I have to figure out what are the emotions telling me and what do I really think about it? And what do I really believe and what I really feel? So whichever place you start, whether you start as a thinking person who comes up with concepts or you start as emotional, it's still the same end point. And that is, we need to find ways to understand our feelings and emotions and to understand who we are and to understand where we are in the world and what our beliefs are about that. There's a great story in the Upanishads, which has been picked up and taught in Science of Mind for quite a long time now, of what is it? What is life? Life is a coach to everywhere. Your body, your mind, your spirit, your whole self is like a coach. Not a coach like a football coach, but a coach like you used to ride around in the times when the Upanishads were written. And the Upanishads predate the Bible, they're ancient writings. And what they say in that, they have a model of human experience that starts with the coach as your whole self. And in the coach is this great passenger, this spiritual you, this total you, the one we talk about that spirit is working and living through us. And then there's the part of us that's our beliefs, which is the one sitting up on the top of the coach with the reins. And the horse is the emotion. The horse represents all emotion. And so they do a whole lot of work with that. But one of the important pieces is where the horse goes and how it goes is all about what you believe, all about the beliefs that are holding the reins. And if you don't have any beliefs about much of anything, or if you don't have beliefs about a situation you find yourself in, then emotions take over and off you go. And you all know what, you've seen enough cowboy movies probably to know what a runaway horse looks like and how the carriage gets demolished and all of that. None of us want that for ourselves or for our lives. So it's about how we're going to handle both our emotions and our beliefs behind it. And there are two choices. You can welcome them. Welcome your emotions. Ah, there's Bob feeling angry today. There's Bob feeling happy. I'm awake at 2 o'clock in the morning, one wide awake with all this stuff running around in my head. And I realize I'm angry and I'm afraid about something. I'll spare you the details. But if I can step back and look at that and say, oh, look, that's Bob being angry. Instead of being so in the feeling and emotion that I can't see my way through or around it. So one of the things that happens with adults and teens and kids and everybody else over time is that you can learn to develop an observing self, a self within you that can see what you're feeling, that can think about it and yet stand back from it a little bit, step above it and beyond it and behind it, so that your emotions become just information. And there's a real interesting thing that happens, especially with strong emotions. And that is, it triggers a physiology within us called fight, flight, or freeze. And you all know that. Somebody startles you, or you suddenly get very frightened, or something comes along that really upsets you. What do you go into? I'm either going to pound it, or I'm going to be running away from it, or I'm going to just freeze and do nothing. Either way, it's a physiological, mental, emotional reaction to that thought, that feeling, whatever it is. And I don't want any stories, but just think about if that's happened to you. Because what's important in that is that fight, flight, freeze, which comes from our reptilian brain, that part of our brain that is ancient and goes way, way back, it comes from there and it prepares us to run in case the big animal is going to eat us, or fight if we think we can defeat it. Or if you're one of those that didn't survive, you maybe just freeze, kind of play a possum and hope it'll all go away and won't bother you. But what that all does is it takes away that higher function within you that allows you to make decisions, allows you to respond to things, allows you to think about what am I feeling and why am I feeling it and how can I understand what's behind it and get beyond it. You know, continuous sadness often leads to depression, certain kinds of depression. All of these feelings can become problematic. It's like, that's why we're using the spice rack imagery. You know, if you only had one spice on your spice rack, life could get really, really into a channel of one taste all the time, and that would be no fun. But by having a variety, the same thing with feelings. If you have a variety of feelings, then what we need to do is learn how to move between them, how to be happy, how to be sad, how to handle it when we're discouraged, when we're not doing well. See, our tendency is to react to emotions. You react to something. You react to the emotion. The emotion comes up. You know, some of the great anxiety that people have is often because they're so afraid that their anger is going to get loose that they're going to hurt themselves or somebody else. Right? Ideas? I see a few heads out there nodding. You know what I'm talking about. So that becomes a hidden kind of emotion where you have to get to the anger to find out you're afraid of it. You have to dig a little deeper and go within you. So there's something you can do with this that I think is really cool. And that is you take that word react, R-E-A-C-T, and you pull the C out. C stands for consciousness, clarity, curiosity. And you put it in the front of the word. And what have you got then? C-R-E-A-T. Create almost. Missing that last E, right? So you add that last E, which is elevate. Elevate your thought. Elevate your ideas. Elevate yourself into a higher way of looking at yourself, your consciousness, which then allows you to move beyond whatever this is that may be going on for you. You know, and we do that using things like meditation, using things like self-contemplation. Journaling is where I work out a lot of my emotions that are a puzzle to me. I just let the emotion write, and I don't try to make sentences or make them sound right or fit them together or have right English or any of that, but just stream of consciousness. And I'll let my anger start talking. And it says some nasty things sometimes, and it gets going. I let my sadness talk, and I let my joy talk in my journals. You can even go deeper with it if you switch hands. Use your non-dominant hand and let some part of you that you're having trouble with, some feeling, some emotion, some even belief system, and it will reveal, because it opens up different neural pathways in your brain to those ideas when you use a different hand. So whatever we can do, because the ultimate idea here is we are expressions of the divine, right? And as such, our opportunity is to know and understand ourselves and understand ourselves as full, functioning, powerful, giving, loving human beings, ready to express richly and openly and freely. You know, it's about balancing. It's about getting all of those spices on your spice rack. Nothing's more frustrating to me to be making a really nice recipe and all of a sudden you're missing one of the most important ingredients. I was cooking fish the other night and I didn't have any cream of tartar and it drove me nuts. And I couldn't decide if I was going to stop cooking and go get the cream of tartar and let whatever I have kind of not be as good as it was, or try to figure out something else instead. And I did something else instead. So we find balance. We learn to recognize feelings. You know, many people don't know what they are. They can't tell you when they're feeling fear or anger or upset. Folks who have come through recovery or have been in any kind of mind-numbing addictive experience often aren't in touch with their feelings. They have no idea what their feelings are. And that's when relationship becomes so important, because we get into a relationship where we don't know what's going on and who we are and what we feel. I couldn't tell the difference between fear and anger for a long time. And the other real one that people get hung up with is excitement and anxiety. They're right next to each other in the same part of the brain. And when one gets triggered, they're right there on that same space. And some people can't tell the difference between what's excitement and what's anxiety. Am I really anxious about this, or am I really excited about it? And sometimes it can look the same when you're expressing it. And people misread. So having a mirror, having someone that you care about that can reflect back to you what they're sensing and feeling, is a way that we begin to build and get to know what our emotions are. There are a lot of other techniques for that too. But it's a very powerful recognition that someone else who really cares about you can be willing to listen and respond and listen and give you back some feedback and some emotion and some clarity about what you're thinking and feeling. Because ultimately, what we're doing is shifting those things that disturb us into that flow a variety that allows us to live in love, live in peace, live in appreciation, love for ourselves, love for our fellow humans, and love for the planet and the culture and the place we live, the universe. As we begin to let go of judgment on those feelings that we're having, instead of making them wrong, recognize them as keys to a greater understanding of ourselves, then we have the power. Then we have the potential. Then we have the possibility. Then we're no longer victims of our own feelings or anyone else's thoughts of any of it. We can step forward with ease, with freedom, with grace. So I want to close with this quote from Maya Angelou, which I love and have always loved. It speaks to all of us, but it particularly speaks to anything you are doing and participating in the world. And that is, she said, you know, people forget what you say. Believe me, I know that one. People forget what you did. Maybe they're a little slower to forget that one, but they do eventually. But they always remember how they felt when they were with you. And if how people feel being with you is loved, cared for, supported, valued, recognized as being the best thing ever, then that's the best gift we can give to ourselves or to anyone else. And we deserve that. We deserve that for ourselves. We deserve that for our world. Because it's wonderful, you're wonderful, I'm wonderful, and so it is. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. I haven't heard applause in a very long time. I forgot it felt so good. Thank you all very much. Thank you, thank you. So moving forward, it is so good to see so many people here in person. Thank you so much for being here for you as well as for me and giving me a chance to do this and for us to do this. So thank you. We're going to speak a minute about supporting our center and about your prosperity. Vance is going to come up and take the podium. But no, he's going to take it. He's not going to take it anywhere. He's just going to take it.
Good morning. Good morning. That was an awesome talk. Thanks, Dr. Thank Bob. And it's hard running that in this and getting it all together. But we're doing it. I'm glad to see everybody here and everybody that's online. And we've got an awesome opportunity. And if you would read with me our affirmation of prosperity, and I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is.
So it is.
And you can donate online at cslmidtown.org/donate, or click on the QR code. It'll take you right there. You can set up a one-time donation or regular ongoing donation. So that's all available. And we appreciate everything because it helps us operate all of this, spread the word.
To Vance, who is the master of all trades. He is our video guy. He made this whole thing happen. Thank you, Vance. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Diego in Denver, which is where this is being broadcast from and produced and managed. Yes, go Diego. Thank you. And our ushers and greeters that showed up today. Thank you, thank you. And the rest of you who showed up to be ushered and greeted. This is all good. Yeah, it's an exciting time. So our next hybrid, which means the next time we'll be present here, is 2 weeks from today. It will be the 15th of May. So plan to be back. We are easing into this as we're learning how to do it. And so we'll do it on the 15th and then June, the first Sunday in June and the third Sunday in June. And beyond that, we're still working on the schedule. So however, this is our future and present permanent location. We have it scheduled and ready for any of the Sundays that we decide we want to be here. We also are keeping a close watch on what's happening with the health in the world and the issues around that and what the various agencies are telling us we should do about meeting in person. But it looks like it was a pretty free open sailing at this point. We want to honor everyone in their own choices about that, which is why we have the name tags that give you a chance to choose. And I think that's it that I need to say right now. If you will stick around just a few minutes, we're going to bring all of our folks who are out there on Zoom into the room, onto the screen, and we'll have a chance to say hello and perhaps greet some folks you haven't seen in a while. We're going to try. That's true. Try is it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But let's join together in our closing affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. Everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that moves through me. And so it is. Thank you all.